We're here on the Cannon Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Mike O'Hara. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown.
No title this week. I'm going to give you something different every week. Mike is no title today. Except for historian. Anyway, Mike O'Hara, talking about the Lions' victory yesterday. I don't even know if I can call it a victory yesterday. The Lions' shellacking yesterday of the Dallas Cowboys, a game that looked to me like the Lions have been waiting for this game since last December as a payback game, and they got it because they walloped, mollywopped, dog walked, whatever adjective or phrase you want to use, they did it. A beatdown of epic proportions.
You know, and you know what? They would have probably would have stayed out there for another quarter or two and then keep beating on them if they had the chance to do it or had the choice to do it. But, God, it just as one-sided as it gets.
As I said last Monday in our last podcast, if you remember, I said this would be a Hendon Hooker game in which Hendon Hooker will get time in. And when I saw Hendon Hooker in, I didn't know he was coming in with – you know, he came in at like the 8 or 7 minute mark, Mike. I mean, really – they could have scored a couple of more times if they wanted to.
Right.
That's how bad it was.
Well, they wanted to, though, and when they were done at 47, that was just fine.
Yeah, well, you know they're done when they start doing reverses to Penny Sewell. You know that. And I don't even know why they did that. I would have saved that for another week because that play I had never expected.
So I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. Save it for whatever. Save it for Minnesota. Then.
Right. Now, I saw that the I want you to say, what would you call it, the end zone route. I don't know what you call that route to Taylor Decker, which he was covered but still almost caught it.
Right.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But the Penny Sewell, and I would say that for another date because that's nobody was expecting that. And that could work. He really almost scored on that play. I think what they call it back because one of the linemen they, started downfield or something. Or
yeah,
something crazy.
Something like that.
Legal
yeah,
formation,
something, like
something wild and wacky. But anyway – a beatdown of epic proportions, but on the other hand, it was bittersweet because you lost your best defensive player. And I don't want to hear that he coming back by the Super Bowl. That, he's going to be gone for the rest of the year. Look, just face that right now.
Well, there's a possibility, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Anytime you have surgery on a tibia,
right.
It's no sense rushing you back. Yeah. It's, especially a player that good. It's no sense rushing them back this year. And like I said, I broke bones before, and I know the motto that once you break it, the bone is stronger than it was before, which is true. But you got to let it, you know, you got to put time and effort into it. And I just don't see him coming back. Now, if he does, I'd be surprised. But when I heard he had surgery, it was successful. And now it's the, you know, the rehab part of it. Just play like you don't expect him back.
No, I agree with that, but it really is a tough blow. Can the Lions overcome it? Yes, to some degree they can. You know, they can make up for his absence in some way or another, but can they make it up enough, you know, to do what they wanted to do this year, and that was win the Super Bowl. Remember what Dan Campbell said during training camp when somebody asked him about what he wanted to accomplish? He said, I want the whole enchilada, and I don't think he's back down from that.
Well, I'm gonna be the reason, the voice of reason, the reason of doom, whatever you want to call it. They're not winning the Super Bowl now. He is that important to the team. Now, I will put a disclaimer on it. If they go out and make a major acquisition, then I will put them back in the Super Bowl realm. But as of now, I don't see how you can do it without him. I just don't, Mike.
Well, Kenny, you've seen the defense there, you know, really, really kind of blossom a little bit, you know, week by week by week by game by game by game. Do you think they've done enough though to make up for the absence of any one of their key players?
Yeah, but they were already down a pass rusher on the other side to me.
Right.
And we were talking about getting somebody from the deadline for that side. Now your main pass rusher is gone, and I don't see anybody on the roster at the minute that can step up to give you that. Now, it could, like I said, there's been surprises. You had that James Houston half a year, 2 years ago. That was a surprise. Maybe you can, you know, catch lightning in a bottle with some player to do it. But overall, Aiden Hutchinson's attitude, his work ethic, his, you know, his just being a teammate and talent and the whole ball of wax that he puts together, you're not going to replace that. He was your best defensive player.
Yeah, in five games, he had 5.5 sacks. So
7.5.
Was it seven and a half? Right? What'd they say?
5.5. 7.5. Well, He was leading the league. Now, all is not lost. I'm not coming in here gloom and doom and that they're not even making the playoffs with that, but I'm just saying for that Super Bowl run, it's like the Chiefs losing, you know, Kelce and that other guy they had their D-tackle's name I just lost about, didn't play last year against the Lions until he came back. That's the type of player.
Yeah.
That's the type of player that Hutchinson was. So we'll see what happens. There's some interesting names out there. Now, Mike, before we go into the game and, you know, the future this week, because this is the biggest game of the season this week, what would you give up to get a player? I know it's always the biggest game of the season is always the next game. What would you give up to get a player? Would you give up a first rounder for the right player?
Well, I'd start at second, you know, and because they don't have a third rounder, so there's nothing they can do about that. I'd start low if I could, but it's ridiculous to waste time on it like that. I mean, put your bid out there and go for it. I'd give a second rounder. I really would.
For the right player.
Well, obviously for the right player. Yeah, I don't want damaged goods. I want somebody who's got a nice, clean, you know, it hasn't been, you know, cut on a lot and all of that, and someone who's in his prime.
Well, the window's now, and
absolutely.
If it's
yeah,
a first, I'll give up a first, because like I said, you got young players from this year's draft that you're developing that are going to be playing next year and stuff. So you got young players moving into the pipeline. So giving up a first next year means nothing to me. I don't want to be like the Rams and go 7 years without a first, but I can go one without a first.
No, I do the same thing. I'd use a first too, but that's not where I'd start.
I know you're not going to get them. But everybody's talking about Max Crosby, but I'll make the call to find out.
Oh, I would too.
Now, this is the second person I make the call to find out.
Garrett?
I'm calling Cleveland. Exactly right. Yeah. Because they are going absolutely nowhere. He's 28 going on 29. You know, it's time to either win or move him. And I don't know how he feels about it, but that's the second call I'm making. And then they got the other guy on there too, the one, Za'Darius Smith. He's in the, you know, fourth, fifth round trade and stuff. There's a couple of those guys. Guy with the Giants, him. There are other guys around, but I'm trying to get me a premier guy back in first.
What about the guy down in Jacksonville, the one that was drafted ahead of
Tyron Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he premier or is he second tier?
I think he's second tier.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think he's second tier. I mean, yeah, I go for him. I go, he's a good solid player. The Allen kid they got, though, maybe if you want to give him. I know he signed a big contract with him, but now that's a first-tier guy if you want to move him. There's a couple of teams out there teetering with rebuilding now, Mike. So, I got one for you. It's funny. What do you think about Thibodeau?
From the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're ready to move him, but, you know. No. They got so many other. They just got Brian Burns and all these other guys. Now they got Dexter Lawrence. They got a stacked defensive line. Need somebody to take a look at. These are just names I'm putting down. Well, anyway, we can talk. Yeah, we can talk about it and do it. Go finish what you're saying.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it more probably as soon as we hang up the phone.
Yeah, and the worst part is, and the good part is that. You're 4-1, you're playing great. You scored 40 points plus two games in a row. I think they said the first time in 60 years or whatever that this has been done. So your offense is coming into form now. You just might have to go outscore everybody, Mike, until you get the defense settled.
Well, that's if you have to. I'm sure the defensive guys would like it.
And I'm sure the defense. And I tell you what, I'm impressed with the defense the last few weeks too. I'm sorry, I'm just sorry. And when they have put it like this. When we did our preview of the season, who did I say was going to be the most important defensive player? Brian Branch.
Brian Branch.
And I'm telling you right now, now that Hutch is gone, he's your best defensive player.
Well, I'd have to think about that. I'm not sure I agree with that. I like Branch. Don't get me wrong.
All right.
I'm just not sure that he would – that he's number two on the list right now and moving up to number one.
Yeah. Somebody got to take the crown.
Okay.
So anyway, Michael, what'd you your thoughts on the game with Dallas yesterday? There's so much to talk about. Will you just give me your summary of it, and I'll give you my summary, and then we'll move on to what's happening this week, the game of the week in the NFL.
You know, what struck me just watching the game, what struck me was is that Dallas, they're willing to give up early. They really, when the going gets tough, then they're not, you know, they're going to have to dig in just to stay even. They're more than willing to just, we'll get you next week and take off the rest of the week. And yes, I think they're a team that quits.
Somebody else said that today. Damian Woody said that today on ESPN. He said Saul. He called him Saul. He said quit. He said Saul.
Yeah,
he said there's Saul. Yeah, he says one guy out there, and Rex Ryan said there's one guy that wasn't soft, and that was the safety. He said besides him, everybody else, he said forget it. I just think that Dallas, to me, has always reminded me of the Texas Longhorn football team. They pamper them so much down there. The college team. They pamper them so much. And then when they get in these games, when they got to play a tough team, they fold. All the way back to Roy Williams, somebody who has supreme talent. But just when it got tough, he just couldn't do it. And that's came out of Austin, Texas. And I think Dallas in the last few years has developed that same habit. Maybe it's because they love football so much down there. They pamper those guys. But like you said, Mike, when they got punched in the mouth, they just, you know, they took it in. They folded up 10, and that's it for the day.
Well, as we all know, they won 12 games the last three seasons in a row. You know, 12, 12, and 12, and did nothing with it. And I think that tells you a lot about them. You know, they always feel good about themselves too. I think, well, we've accomplished what we wanted, even if they haven't. I mean, there's more to do, and they're out there just willing to settle.
Yeah,
that's their primary weakness, I would think.
Well, it's always somebody, and this is in life too, a person that if you give it to me, I'll take it. But damn, if I got to go out there and get it, maybe I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? And that's always been Dallas to me. Yeah, if you're going to give it to me, I'll take it. And, you know, if you're going to crown me, then, okay, I'll wear the crown. But, damn, if I got to go fight for this crown, man, I'm only going to fight to a certain point. You know, and that's it.
That's one of the things about the Detroit Lions under Dan Campbell. They're not just willing to take it. They want to go and get it.
Yeah, they want to go
get it. I don't think that's ever going to change.
No, not under Dan Campbell. Also, things that happened, David Montgomery was given a contract extension on Saturday, which was out of the blue to me because you didn't have to. He had, a year after this one left on his contract.
Right.
But I think that set the tone, Mike, in the locker room and set the tone with the team. And Dan Campbell said it, you know, he's the type of guy this team embodies. This is what the type of guy I would play for if I was playing. I would want to play with if I was playing. And he's a tone setter for us, and we want to reward him. And I think that goes a long way in that locker room.
No, I think it does. And look at the big money guys that they signed in the offseason too. In other words, it's not even an even bigger level. But we will reward you if you produce, and they have, and they did.
And he didn't take the day off either yesterday because after he got that big contract, he was a bowling ball. He went out there and threw two in and was running hard as he's been running the last few weeks. They ran for 184 yards, Mike. The Dallas Cowboys ran for 53, and really it wasn't even that much. I remember one time they had 16 yards for the whole team. There was nothing coming on the ground. Prescott, as bad as he was, you got to admit he had no help at all.
None, and he hit him pretty heavy.
Yeah,
too.
They were coming after.
He got him out of the game in the fourth quarter.
Exactly right. So
and just one thing, Kenny, about the Lions running game. I mean, they've got a duo there that's probably the best in the league, maybe the best that we've seen for a while. With Jahmyr Gibbs and
Montgomery.
Montgomery. That's a duo that has to be reckoned with.
Oh, no doubt. And like I said, when one of them's not having a good game, the other one steps up. And if they're both having good games, they I watch them on the bench doing the shots of them. And they enjoy playing with each other, and that's rare for guys that, you know, I got to get my contract, and I got to get all the carries, and I get all the touchdowns. They enjoy playing with each other, and it's going to prolong both of their careers by having not to, you know, take the full workload every week. And it's just a good thing to watch. They even got Craig Reynolds in yesterday, and he was running decent.
Yeah, right, absolutely. I kind of forgot that he was on the roster.
Yeah, Vaki got in, so For those out there who say the Lions need to draft a running back next year, which I heard on a radio show yesterday after they signed Montgomery, talking about what? That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to mention the name of the person that said it. They did have Vaki drafted this year, so they do have a third and fourth back. So don't forget about that. Anyway, just do it.
Tell me who said it.
No, I'm not going to say it, but there's only so many shows that come on on game day, so that's all I can say. You can find it if you want to.
I'll tell you what, I'll wait till we hang up the phone.
So, Mike, we'll turn the page on Dallas. Lions 4-1, should be 5-0, should have won the Tampa game, but they didn't. We'll give it to them. I'll give it to them.
They didn't deserve it.
Now you got two games. Two tough games coming up in the next three. Starting this game right here against the Vikings. This is you don't want to get two games behind. And with the division, everybody winning, the Bears are 4-2. I think the Packers are they 3-3 or 4-2? I got to look and see. But everybody's winning in the division. You got to keep pace. So this is a big game.
No, I agree with you. I don't know if it's a big season decider or anything like that, but we win this one, you're tied for the lead and in the division. I think it's something to consider.
One thing that's good about these three out of the next two, these two division games, because you got Green Bay in a couple of weeks after that, you're getting the road ones out the way early. You know, you play a Minnesota on the road this week, you play Green Bay on the road in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever you want to count it. You get your road division games out the way. So the last ones, when you play them the second time, they're home games. I think that's an advantage for you. Especially if you win them, if you win your roads.
Well, of course, yeah, absolutely.
But just get them out the way early. I wish they could have played Chicago early, because Chicago's becoming a better team every week now. So those are going to be tough games, both games now. You know, when they were struggling early, that's the time you wanted them. But, you know, we'll go for it.
Well, we'll take it when we take it. Look, I think the Vikings are really the toughest test for the Lions out in the NFC North. I really do. Especially the quarterback, you know, he's really sort of came out of nowhere, really, the way he's developed and the way he's performed in the first 5-6 games. So I think it's something for the Lions to consider. And then I think they're a good, solid team on defense too. So I don't think there's anything about this game that you can take for granted.
Not a fan of Sam Darnold, and I think he will regress to mean soon. And he kind of started last week on his way down, but we'll see. We'll just let it go.
No, I'm not a huge fan, but listen, you can't deny what he's done in the first, four or 5 weeks.
No, not denying it, but I've seen that movie, and I'm sure I know how it ends, so we'll see how that goes.
And plus, they've got the best wide receiver in the league, I think.
Yeah, one of the two, one of the top two.
Well, who's the other one?
Cincinnati's wide receiver, Jamar Chase.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, one of the two. One of those two are the best. I'll tell you what, while you talk receivers, I'm pleasantly surprised by Tim Patrick's play. I think he plays pretty good. He plays big. He really should have had that touchdown. He didn't get it. But I see the coordination with Jared Goff becoming more and more, and he's more into the offense now. So I think a couple of weeks ago everybody was yelling about the wide receiver, the third round. I think that's settled down now.
Well, it has now, but it's 1 week, too. But the way he came back for the ball, too, that's what impressed me.
Well, that's 2 weeks now, because he played good in the Seattle game, too.
But that was a tough. He had to really want the ball to get that ball. He did.
Yeah, how about throwing the flag on that, too, because it was a penalty? You know, the guy wasn't even looking. But, you know, that happens in Dallas. We've seen that before. So.
Yeah.
But that's 2 weeks in a row Tim Patrick's had good games now. So, I like I said, he's coming on. He's coming on. He had a good Seattle game, and he had a good this game. And our guy's becoming better every week, Jameson Williams.
Yeah, he is.
He's
really
becoming
is.
Good every week. Even though he dropped one, that would have been a touchdown. He dropped a touchdown because he was going to split that receiver. He was going to split that D-back. All he had to do was catch it, and he was gone.
And Goff went right to him
on the next play. Exactly right. So that's good. The offense is humming right now. I'm happy for that. Like I said, we'll see what happens on the defensive end. But even without Hutchinson, the D-backs are playing much better this year than last year. The rest of the defensive line is playing much better. And I think Jack Campbell's played a couple of real good games the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of more of a traditional middle linebacker, I think.
Right. And just put him there, leave him alone, and let him develop. So, all right, Michael Hara, that's it for the Canaan podcast this week. As you guys noticed out there, I didn't mention Nick Roddy's name because as the youngin' of the group, he has skipped town again on vacation. We will get him when he gets back. We will make sure that Nick works the rest of the year, but give him his little week off so he can refresh his batteries and come back with some strong opinion.
How dare him take time off during football
season. I just don't know these young people today, Mike, these young people.
He's probably not even listening to it on the radio.
Probably not, but we'll get when he gets back. All right, yep. Well, that's Mike O'Hara and Ken Brown on the Canaan Podcast. Alex Anzalone, Monday afternoon, if you're listening to it, 4:30 p.m. on WJR's Mitch Albom Show. Check them out, and we'll talk more about the Lions then. And the rest of you, we'll see you this Friday when we do our game preview and game prediction podcast. And we'll see what happens, Michael, here. Have a good week.
Okay, Ken. All right, you too.
All righty.